Support for Let's Eat comes from Bombs Natural Foods. More than just supplements, Bombs offers massages, ion cleanses, a juice bar, and an educated staff for all of your questions. Bombs Natural Foods, with locations in Merrillville, Highland, and BombsNaturalFoods.com. Program consideration comes from Lithographic Communications. Lithographic Communications, located in Munster, has been providing both printing and mailing services locally since 1988. More information is available at 219-924-9779. NIPSCO supports Lakeshore Public Radio because a little information can be a huge help. Sign up for NIPSCO alerts to receive updates on your account, including power outage status updates via text, email, or phone. Learn more at NIPSCO.com/alerts.
It's Friday, and it's time for Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick. Join us from 3 to 4 for an hour of food, drink, and a little information. Call in and have a chance to win a gift card. Call 769-9577. Thanks for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Hey, good afternoon, Lakeshore listeners. We're sitting here on 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio, in our studios in Merrillville. We're coming at you live with Sharon Jackson and me, Chef Nick, on Let's Eat. What's up, Sharon?
Hey, Nick. What's up? Happy Friday.
Happy heated Friday. Oh. Very hot. Very, very hot out there.
It is
It's
so
hotter in the kitchen.
Hot, you know, and I don't even have the air conditioning in my car right now. It's crazy.
Why?
I think that the Freon is like leaked out of it or just dried out or something. I usually have to get it, put it back in like every 2 years.
You know, before we get going, I want to bring Kelly over here. Kelly, come over here, please.
Oh, geez, she was just getting ready to sit down.
I know she was. You know, we're in the studio drinking wine with Shady Creek Wine. And Kelly has something to tell us about an event that's coming up in September.
Oh, yes.
Go ahead, Kelly.
Actually, so in September, we have our Professional Women's Conference. It is being held September 19th at the Blue Chip Hotel and Casino. And Tim has been nice enough to be a supporter and let us have our reception there at the Shady Creek Winery.
Nice.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Kelly. Mm-hmm. Very good job. And, you know, not her face turned red, but her whole body turned red.
Yeah, that's
cool. I think her shoulders and everything.
Well, it is warm in here.
That's actually the wine.
Okay, that's good. So, yeah, our guests today are from Shady Creek Wine, and we have Tim and his winemaker, Jimmy.
Yeah.
But before that, what else is going on? Anything else in the community? I know at Bulldog Park in Crown Point tomorrow, they got the Sounds of Santana's going on.
Oh, nice.
They start at 5 o'clock.
Cool.
They go to like 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good night over in Crown Point. It's a brand new venue. It's a beautiful venue.
I have not seen it yet, but have you? So I take it you've been there.
Yes, I have been there, and my kids go there. And in the wintertime, they have a lot of nice ice skating.
Beautiful.
Going on.
Beautiful.
So
and they're like rivaling Chester or not Chesterton.
Valparaiso. I think the Bulldogs might beat the Vikings this year.
So it's going to be the two of those towns going head to head for all the most fun, delicious things to do.
And on July 1st, over at Off Square Brewing,
yes,
we have a fundraiser for the station.
Mm-hmm.
So for every beer that you buy, a dollar goes towards Lakeshore Public Radio.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. Yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah, they're
too.
Helping us celebrate 10 years on the air.
Yeah, 10 years. On the air, and we need all the support we can get. I mean, like I said, Tom Maloney's buying these rubber bands here for the thing. Those all cost
hold
money.
The mics in
aren't
place.
These like $100 a piece or something crazy like that?
I don't know how much they are. He told me, but I forgot. I thought it was more like, I don't know, maybe 50. I don't know.
Yeah, well he probably just got them off of some kid that had some braces.
Got them off.
Took
of,
their rubber
yeah.
bands off their
braces.
So, yesterday was exciting for me. We did a filming at the Hobart Farmers Market.
Nice.
In Hobart, in
oh,
front of
cool.
the Portable Recon, for friends and neighbors, our friends and neighbor episode. We did three of them in I think June.
Oh, is that why you're shaving?
Yeah, I always shave for the TV.
Yeah,
I know. Other than that, I'm just whiskered guy, just whisker alley. But we did it in front of the Portable Recon, and that's probably going to be airing in August. And you know, I want to put a shout out to all the producers like you.
Oh, thanks.
And like Tony. You know, movie stars are not movie stars. I'm sorry. They're jokes. The real movie stars are the producers that produce it all.
Yeah, the people
they put
that make
it together,
it all happen.
That chop it up, you know, because I'm nobody, and I was just saying whatever I want, but when you see it at the end of August, it'll look like I'm from the food station or something like that.
That's awesome. Yeah, make it all look clean and neat, make you look good.
Yeah, I try to look good. I try. So we're off, huh?
Yeah.
You're ready to take a...
Let's,
we're going to go to Shady Creek Winery.
Mm-hmm.
You got your sandals on?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Always. I don't have no shoes on.
You need your aqua socks.
I need my aqua socks because did you get your license to drive a boat?
No.
But we're not supposed to go on Lake Michigan unless you have a license,
You'll
Sharon.
Be fine.
Well, you know what? I didn't put any shoes on. I'm going to get a rope. You going to pull me? Here we go.
Yeah.
Because you know what, Shady Creek?
Hope you got good balance.
I got very good balance. Even though I drank all this White Cap wine, I got perfect balance. So we're on our way to Shady Creek Winery over there in Michigan City. It's only, what, a mile south of Lake Michigan? Okay.
Don't you love it?
Oh, I love it. This water, you know what? The lake is so much better than when I was a kid. When I was a kid, you would be smelling the dead fish by now. But now the lake is pretty pure.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting out?
This is the light.
Did you stop finally? I know. Oh, wait.
Yeah, we're going.
Ready to walk in?
Should I disembark?
Yeah, we're going to disembark. And then we're going to get a bottle of wine from Shady Creek Winery and hit it right on
I
the bow.
I think I need some right now. Yeah.
We need some.
It's good.
So today, folks, we have our guests are Tim Anderson and Jimmy Lynch from Shady Creek Winery out of Michigan City. And they were kind enough to bring us a gift certificate for a $40 value for a tasting at their establishment in Michigan City. You want to tell us real quick, Tim, what this is?
Yeah, it's a tasting certificate for up to four folks to come in and do a tasting of five of our custom-crafted wines. And, of course, after that, they're welcome to stay and have some food and, buy a case of wine.
So what they need to do.
Nice, yes.
There's a good plug. What's great is all you have to do is dial in 769-9577. That's 769-9577. And Tim was kind enough to give me a coupon for that tasting. And you also get a gift card from Chef Nick's Eatery. So you get a double dose. You can come eat at Chef Nick's, go get some wine. Or get some wine and eat there and then come to Chef Nick's later. Sound pretty good, Sharon?
Sounds really good.
So let's introduce
food and drink, I'm on board.
Okay. So we got the owner and operator, Tim Anderson. How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing great, Nick. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming in because being in the food and beer and wine and the whole hospitality industry, Friday's a busy day for all of us.
It is. We were lucky to escape.
Yeah, you were. Did you come on the boat with us?
No, but I will give you a towel. You look a little wet.
I am a little wet. Yeah, I am.
It's my driving.
It's your driving, Sharon. You don't know. You know what? You said you had a license. I don't believe it. So we got Tim Anderson and we got Jimmy Lynch. Jimmy's just like a baby. I don't know how he's a winemaker already. I mean, maybe did you start because your mother was giving you juice in the bottle and it just like, you know, it was sit aside for a couple of days and, you know.
Something like that.
Something like that.
My dad had a bad habit of sitting on the floor and watching football, and I'd sneak up and steal his beer from him.
So, Tim.
Starting early.
I know, very early.
Yeah.
But it's only wine. It's wine! Wine doesn't
comes
do
from
anything.
A plant.
A grape.
Yes.
What is it going to hurt anybody?
It's good
you for
you.
You can freeze them mm-hmm. like candy.
Definitely.
Like popsicles. So, anyways, Tim, give us a little bit of a history about yourself.
Well, I'm an old guy. I'm not like Jimmy. I'm an old guy. But I used to be in a different industry, the software industry, and got tired of that. And my wife and I really enjoy the south end of Lake Michigan, the beautiful lake shore, and decided it'd be a great place for a destination winery. So we built one.
You built it?
We built it. It was an empty lot of 20 acres of scrappy wood.
Really?
And timber, and we built the building from scratch. It's a beautiful facility.
Oh, it is beautiful. I've seen it.
And we really built it so we could be a destination. You know, we're not on a wine trail per se, so we need people to come and stay for a couple hours, really enjoy themselves, give them enough space and nooks and crannies and things to enjoy artwork and food and the wine and really make an afternoon out of it. So that was our vision, and that's what we did.
And how long ago was that?
Ironically, we're also in our 10th year.
Really?
I heard in your lead in your 10 years. We are celebrating 10 years in August.
In August.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Now, what did your wife do before that?
She was a stay-at-home mother.
Okay.
And we raised three beautiful girls who are now in their 20s and off being successful in their own right, so we get to play around at the winery.
So you both are involved?
Oh, yeah. My wife is pretty much running the show, actually.
Really?
So I'm just...
That's what
I'm
I say about my wife, too.
Yeah, I'm just the eye candy, the pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. I agree with you. We'll look at another piece of eye candy. We got Jimmy over here. Jimmy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm from Chicago.
Uh-huh.
But I moved to Michigan City, Indiana with my family. They bought a summer home there. And I went to off to college up in Minnesota to study criminology, and that's where I earned my bachelor's degree. But I wasn't finding much pleasure or success in the criminal field, finding law enforcement work or whatnot.
Was it you didn't find success, or you didn't find the work as being satisfying?
It was unsatisfying, and I wasn't finding the jobs in the agencies I wanted to work for. Mm-hmm. But I always found solace in wine. It became a hobby of mine because...
What do you mean solace in wine? did you have like a baby blanket and you went back to the wine bottle, didn't you?
I did. I certainly did. So, well, I developed that interest in wine because during summer vacation in between semesters, uh-huh. I would work in tasting rooms in Michigan.
Okay, okay.
And that sparked that interest in wine. So I, developed a profound interest in it, and it became a hobby of mine. And then at one point, I decided, is there any way I can start a career in this industry?
Uh-huh.
So I was looking around online, and I discovered a new program at the Lake Michigan College of Benton Harbor on winemaking.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to know. I mean, there's people out there that don't even realize how you would get into it. They probably figure out that. I mean, were you squishing grapes in a bucket at home with your feet?
Something like that.
Yeah.
In my college dorm room, I would buy Welch's grape juice and throw some yeast in it.
That's cool. You'd think that, a lot of people probably think it's a family business, handed down from generation to generation.
Yeah. Folks, call in 769-9577. That's 769-9577. And get a gift card from Shady Creek Winery out of Michigan City. Tim, why wine? I mean, we've been doing this show for a couple of years now, and it's like, we get wine people and beer people, and people are starting to do their own spirits now and things like that. Why wine?
Well, it's a little bit similar to Jimmy's story. It's about a passion, and I developed it when I was in my first career, when I spent a lot of time out on the West Coast in the Bay Area in the software industry, and I spent a lot of weekends going up to wine country. And I'll tell you the one moment when it struck me is we were at a place called Hop Kiln, which is a very old building, and it had survived Prohibition. And it was a brewery, and then Prohibition came along, and it shut down, and then it got reopened as a winery. But we were talking to the tasting room woman, and she was a professor at one of the local schools that had an enology program, which is winemaking.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought out a map of the Napa Valley, and she started pointing to very specific places in the valley and describing in great detail the characteristics of the wines produced from that area based on the soil, the water, the sunshine, the temperature, the direction of the winds. And then from that point on, when you went around tasting wine, you really were experiencing that region of the country, you know? So when you realize that it's not just a liquid in the bottle, every bottle has a story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And if you pay attention to what the wine's telling you, you can understand a lot about where it came from and why it tastes the way it does. And it's fascinating. It's like taking a journey every time you open a bottle.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I never heard it explained that way.
Yeah, that's well put.
That's very well put.
Thank you.
So it tells you a story about what the soil that's there, the weather, the what else does it tell you?
Well, the oak, if the winemaker used any oak barrels to age. Jimmy can tell you a lot more about those things than I can. I'm more of a liker and aficionado of wine. Uh-huh. I'm not an expert in the chemistry behind it. But I know what I like, and I know when I like something, and I know the styles I like.
Well, I know I like White Caps.
And that's a sweet and fruity
and
drink.
You were teasing me because you know I'm going for the sweet stuff, but I like that.
Well, I didn't mean to tease. Dick,
I know.
Actually,
I know. I'm okay now.
We have a policy.
It's
though.
Okay.
We have a policy though that we want to be we want wine to be approachable because
right.
I think the wine industry has shot itself in the foot a little bit by being a little too pretentious.
It was. You're
so,
right.
So we really would like people to feel comfortable with wine, feel that they can ask questions, and make the wine approachable. So we have a very easy concept at the winery. It's drink what you like.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about what other people think of what you're drinking. Drink what you like. Mm-hmm. And your goal in life, if you're a wine drinker, should be to find the lowest cost bottle of wine that you can enjoy on a regular basis.
So, Jimmy, how long have you been with Shady Creek?
Just over 2 years.
2 years? Mm-hmm. Now, you took these classes. Now, did you learn more hands-on?
Absolutely. You learn way more getting your hands dirty and into it. I learned way more than I ever thought I would. I did an internship at a major winery in Virginia, and their winemaker is a master in biochemistry and microbiology, so he taught me a lot that I didn't know before.
Well, you do all the wines, you make the wine. Tell us basically how wine is made. This is a basic, you know, the people that are listening out there, tell them, you know, go to Aldi's and grab some grapes, and this is what you do.
Well, grab some, it doesn't necessarily have to be grapes. You can right. make wine from pretty much any fruit. You just need there to be a lot of sugar in it. Sugar okay. is your potential alcohol.
Uh-huh.
So, and then you ferment the fruit juice with yeast. Yeast is a microbe.
Is this yeast like I can use in my bread?
It's the same exact species.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Saccharomyces cerevisiae, to be specific.
Now you're getting way too
gesundheit.
So, and then what do you do?
You add your yeast to the fruit juice, and the yeast will consume the sugar and convert it into alcohol.
And how long does that take?
It depends, but it can take it takes about 2 weeks.
About 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Now, is it true with the wine? You always hear them, you know, how you stored the bottles, and do you actually rotate the bottles? Do people do that still?
I don't.
Okay.
Our wines aren't around long enough to worry about that. But okay. But if you're storing it on its side like you mm-hmm. should to keep the cork wet, on a big dry red like the Tea Wave that mm-hmm. we are tasting here today, you'll have a little bit of sediment form on that part of the bottle, and if you don't want that, to
is
happen,
that the reason why?
Yeah,
that and the cork from drying out too, right? So. Okay, let me ask you, how long does wine last before it turns into balsamic? Or do you have to do something special to make it balsamic?
Well, with most wine questions, it's always an it depends answer. Big dry reds last much longer in the bottle because they can contain a lot more tannin than white wines. Tannin is an antioxidant.
That's what makes it a little bit healthier. Mm-hmm. That's why you should drink a bottle every night.
Yes, exactly. Bottle of wine a day keeps the doctor away.
Exactly. Is that your philosophy?
Oh, yeah.
So, Tim, how many varieties you got out there?
We have about 20 different wines on the tasting sheet right now, and we try to balance the tasting sheet to everybody's palate. So there's certainly a selection of dry whites. There's a selection of dry reds, and there's certainly some semi-sweet and sweet wines, because not everyone's palate is the same, of mm-hmm. course. And the classic issue is when somebody comes in and says, "I need to buy a bottle of wine as a gift," and you say, "Well, white or red?" And they say, "I don't know." And you say, "Dry or sweet?" And they say, "I don't know." So we got a 1 in 4 shot of getting this right. You know, there's about 4 basic different styles to choose from, and then you get into the various nuances of the blends and the different varietals within the category. But we try to keep it around 20. That seems to be able to satisfy everybody.
So do you do like seasonal items? Like, do you make a peppermint wine or something, you know, in Halloween, a pumpkin wine?
We don't. Okay. We don't. But, you know, unlike beer, which is, a 20-23-day cycle, mm-hmm. you know, wine is a multi-year cycle.
Right.
So you don't just do things on a whim. So, for instance, the 2017 red that you're enjoying in the Tea Wave, I had to contract for that fruit in 2016.
Oh wow!
Right, so the wine is a very different industry than beer, and it is a much longer lead time, and then you have to hold the big reds for about 2 years before you even begin drinking them. So it's at least a 3-year process on the dry reds.
Oh wow.
So that's why we don't get into a lot of specialty seasonal things.
So, you know,
it's
you're
a lot
just
of planning.
Right. Yeah. So you're saying you buy in. So you're not growing your grapes, you're buying
right. We're a winery, not a vineyard.
Okay.
And
so where do you get your grapes?
So that's a great question. We get it all the time. We believe you should make wine from grapes that are happy. And we believe grapes are happiest where they grow best. And certainly some of the whites that you're enjoying today are from very local right around the shore of Lake Michigan.
Hmm.
So you can have perfectly delicious and award-winning wine from the Great Lakes region white grapes. We believe reds are best done from the West Coast style fruits. So our big reds, our Cabernet, our Zinfandel, our Syrah, our Petit Syrah, those are all from Lodi, California, which is about 90 miles east of Napa, where it's much hotter than Napa.
So this lakeshore area, is it a conducive area for growing grapes?
Oh, absolutely. Certain varietals.
What makes it that way?
Well, it's mainly the tempering effect of Lake Michigan itself in most winters that has a warming effect, and it's also there's some wind effects. Jimmy probably knows a lot more about that than I do.
Why would the wind affect it?
Wind will blow warm air out of the vineyard because you have a lot of fungal pressure from the humidity. Mm-hmm. So the wind is extremely helpful for cooling down the vineyards and, you know, keeping mold from growing on the grapes.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
So some wine regions, they actually artificially impose wind. They build these wind machines to actually create that effect. So we're very lucky to have that.
When's the last time you heard the phrase fungal pressure?
I've never heard of that.
This is a first, yeah.
I just thought maybe it was like you're blowing, you know, like a air gun on your toes or something. No? You're like from the gas station, you fill up your tires. I don't know. I've never heard of it before. So, Jim.
I wish I had something to say to that. I got nothing.
Fungal pressure. I don't know what to think about that. So, Jim, you know about the science of the wine. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me ask you this. Is it better to have a thick skin grape or thin skin grape? Does the skin make a difference?
Again, it depends. That makes a difference with the profile of the wine and the way that it grows. So, for example, something like Zinfandel is very thin-skinned. Wouldn't grow well.
You can't tease a Zinfandel.
It wouldn't grow well here, yeah. You couldn't tease it.
Hurt its feelings.
It would burst open and get real sticky.
Folks, 769-9577, 769-9577. Give us a call and get a gift card from Shady Creek Wineries out of Michigan City. How about, like, you guys, when you guys get your grapes, does it matter if it has seeds or not? I mean, how does that all work?
You want seeds for red wine making. The wine's fermented on the seeds and skins, so you get a lot of tannin out of the seeds and skins and some flavor.
Okay.
That's important.
Now that byproduct, the skins and the seeds and things like that, it's a waste, right? So what do you do? You just toss it? Do you give it the feed?
Composted. Yeah.
Composted?
Yeah.
You make grappa out of it, too.
What? What's that?
Make what?
Grappa.
What's grappa?
That? What's that?
It's an Italian, like, spirit.
Okay.
They use, so the waste product is called pumice.
Okay, pumice.
So they, mix that up with some sugary mess and re-ferment it and distill the alcohol out of it. So it's some really...
Is it potent?
Is it good?
Potent stuff.
No, it's not.
Is it high in alcohol content?
Oh, yeah.
But it's not good. It's sort of like what we were talking before, the Ritzina that the Greeks drink.
Yeah.
That's a nasty wine. That's some bitter, nasty wine.
But there are people who seek out the byproducts.
Yeah. So do you deal with anything else besides grapes? Do you do any apples or berries or anything like that?
We have a cherry fruit wine.
You do?
Mm-hmm. Nice. Michigan cherries.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you able to, like, pumping more alcohol into the wine, or is it, how do you make it higher in alcohol or lower in alcohol? Is it just
that
a natural thing?
We can't do that. That's a legal issue, but that would be a fortified wine. So something like port.
Is that what you call it? Fortified wine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you're fortifying with alcohol. So they did that, like the British were a big fan of port because it was fortified with alcohol and would survive the journey from Portugal. It wouldn't go bad, but it's still... makes delicious wine to this day.
So what is the best-selling wine you guys carry? What really moves?
Dry rosé right now.
Right now is the fastest-selling, but overall we do the highest volume of Beach Class, the white blend, and Riptide, the red blend. Those are good everyday wines.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there seasonal wines? Are there certain seasons that certain wines sell better than other times?
Well, most of the time it goes with the temperature. So right now people are going to be really focusing on the chilled whites and the sweets and semi-sweets.
Well, we're talking about that. Okay, now it's hot out. So what can you add to the wine to make it more sparkly or more lighter or more... satisfying, more,
Well, I think
fresher.
On really hot days, you can add sparkling water to anything to make it a spritzer, but to beef that up a little bit on a day like today, and particularly if you're drinking, either before noon or early in the afternoon, it's a good idea to do that. But you can also add frozen fruit, frozen grapes or frozen blueberries are really good because it keeps the wine really cold. And then as they sort of defrost a little bit, some of the juice comes into the drink, and it's delicious.
You ever think about making a slushy wine?
No. Well, we make fun of slushies.
Oh, do you?
The point behind that is that we try to be
Wait,
an
one
adult
second.
Winery.
They're drinking all my wine over here. Yeah. But go ahead.
I know. I need
we try to be an adult winery where okay. we're doing real wines and we haven't dabbled in that kind of stuff.
769-9577 769-9577 That white cap got a hold of me, took me down almost like a riptide.
So it's good for the purist, you know, somebody who just likes their wine the way it's meant, out of the ground, you know.
There's certainly a variety of wineries and vineyards in the region, so you can find the style that's good for you, and we're more of we're not the big party place.
No, you're just more of an adult.
Yeah.
Atmosphere. So, Jimmy. Well, I can call you Dimitri too, but Jimmy.
Anything
that means
works.
The same thing.
I have a lot of nicknames.
When you make these vats of wine, what do you store them in? Do you store them in barrels? Do you store them, or you go directly into the bottle? What do you do?
It depends.
Not into your mouth now.
Quite a bit of it does make it there, but initially it'll be.
He's looking at you funny now.
Initially, it'll go into stainless steel tanks for fermentation, because that's a neutral vessel. Nothing's going to be imparted into wine. It's sterile. It's clean. And after that, the red wines will generally be barreled down in oak barrels to be aged, and white wines will stay in stainless steel until they are filtered and bottled.
You got a caller?
Yeah, Jose.
Jose.
Go ahead, Jose.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Jose. What's up? You just got out of here, didn't you?
I did, and I got to say, I love your guys' wine. I just sampled it in the back there. Very delicious.
Thank you.
And what'd you Thank sample? You.
But I sampled a little bit of all of them. I really like your dry white. Your dry white was really good.
That's the beach class. That's a number one seller.
Yeah, it was one of my favorites. But I do have a question. I know you guys were touching upon like the permutations and how aging... how you age like whites and reds and like oak barrels. What would you recommend, like, if I were to buy like a wine from you guys, could I personally, like, I guess, keep it fresh so it would age like in my home or like in my cellar? Like, is there a specific place I would put my bottles to, like, maybe enjoy it, like,
in your belly?
Years from now?
That's where it should age.
You certainly should store wine if you're.
That's a good question.
Any wine should be stored in a sort of a cool, dry, dark place if you can. So, if you're going to hold a red wine, I mean, our red wines, you could hold those 5 to 7 years.
Wow.
If you chose to, and we have, and they're still delicious, and the corks are still intact. The white wines, you know, they're generally in drink within a couple of years, kind of a beverage. But in any case, they should be stored in a cool place and out of sunlight.
Now, do you have certain bottles? You have colored bottles for certain wines on purpose?
There are some traditions
to
the shape and color of wine bottles, and I'm actually not sure where those traditions came from. Do you have any insight on
No,
those. You know,
I forgot that lesson.
There's Burgundy. there's Burgundy bottles. There's Bordeaux bottles. There's the tall, skinny ones are called Hock.
Uh-huh. Are wines better as they get older?
Oh, it depends.
Depends.
Typically, a wine, you don't want to age a wine unless it's sort of built for that. You know, so when we say big dry reds, I mean a nice, really nice red wine. Can stand up to some aging and actually gets better, but white wines and sweet wines that would be not really worth it.
Okay,
to age it.
Jim, what are All your?
Right.
Thank you, Jose.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Right, it's that easy. 769-9577 769-9577 Give us a call. Get a gift card from Shady Creek Wineries out of Michigan City. So, what are your batches when you make wine, Jimmy?
Volume?
Yeah. What do you usually do?
Generally about 300 gallons per varietal.
Really?
So that would be about a ton and a half of fruit.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
The beach glass, we do about 800 gallons finished. Yeah. So that's
how
that's
much? How many gallons you think you do if you combine everything yearly?
We're about 8,000.
Wow. That's really good.
Which is actually, getting into the small, medium size.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when we're out in California talking to our suppliers out there and hanging out at wineries out there, They're stunned to find out that we're doing 8,000 gallons out of and selling it all out of a tasting room in Michigan City, Indiana.
You're nowhere in any kind of stores at all?
We're in a little bit of distribution, but not much, because we're more of a craft style, right. You know, brand.
Like you said, a destination place. Yeah, it's somewhere you got to go and spend the day.
And so we did just start shipping almost nationwide. We're in 37 states. We just started 2 weeks ago. So you can, all of our wines are available. You can just hit our website and punch the link up, and you can buy any of our wines, and we can ship to 37 states. Indiana is not one of them yet.
Okay.
It's a separate license, and we don't want to go into that.
Okay. So why don't you tell us what you brought us that we're tasting today?
Absolutely. We brought six wines today, and we brought two of each general category. So we have two dry whites, the Beach Glass blend, which is Pinot Gris, Saval, and Chardonnay. Delicious, crisp, slightly acidic, which is what you get out of the Lake Michigan shore white fruits. Really great on a summer day like today. And then the rosé, that's a rosé of Chamberson, a beautiful pink hue to it. It's a dry rosé, and that is absolutely flying off the shelf. That's one of Jimmy's best works so far, and we will literally be out of the 130 cases in less than 2 months' time.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That is absolutely flying off the shelves. And then onto the dry reds, we have Riptide, which is our most popular red blend. Very easy to drink. I call it our pizza wine. So every day, you know, whatever you're having for dinner, Riptide's going to go with it. It's a light, easy to drink red blend, Lake Michigan Shore. It's one of our few local reds.
When they say it's medium bodied, what does that mean?
Well, it's not light and wimpy, and it's not big and heavy. It's sort of medium on the palate. And
so you're taking this from drier to sweeter, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So and then on the bigger red side, we have what we call T-Wave, and that's named T-Wave because we give money on every bottle to American Heart Association right now, but we do have other charities that we support with that. That's actually 100% Zinfandel, and that is a delicious, easy to drink, smooth big red. And then on the semi-sweet side, we have Sandy Feet, our number one seller in that category. That is a fantastic, slightly sweet and fruity. That's got a little green apple and grapefruit, kind of a citrusiness to it. And then White Caps is like a fresh bowl of fruit. It's sweet and like a fresh. Well, you tasted it.
I taste a lot of it.
That is an absolutely just fruity and sweet and delicious wine.
That's the one I like the most. Yeah. That's a sweet guy. The other ones, the dark ones, are wines that I would reduce and cook with. I mean, that's just my palate. I like sweet. Sharon, who we got online?
Yeah. Gary has questions.
Gary, how are you?
Well, I'm fine. I got a couple questions. I do. I've made some of my own wine, and the other day I made an apple wine. Well, last fall, I made an apple wine, and then I made a Cabernet and a Merlot. And another grape, I can't remember what it started with, but my apple wine, it got mold on the top of it, but none of the others did, and I didn't do anything different, and I had, you know, I sanitized everything like I was supposed to, but the reds went fine, and the apple just, like, had a coating of mold over the top, you know,
Okay, so a couple
thing to keep. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a couple ideas here. So, you know, pH is a big factor in this. So, if the pH is too high, so it's more alkaline. It's not hostile enough of an environment. It's not acidic enough. So that's where you get something growing. Also, you know, you need to make sure your molecular SO2 is kept at a level of 0.5. So, you know, you make sure you're adding enough sulfites to your wines to ensure that no microbes start growing in it, especially if it's not acidic enough.
So, okay, now after the fact, if I don't add any sugar or anything to it, I don't have to put anything in there to keep it from reworking, do I? Or
you should always add sulfites. I'd highly recommend
Add sulfites. Okay.
You may be talking about sorbate as well.
If you're adding sugar, yeah, you want to add a potassium sorbate. That'll help keep
it. But if you don't add sugar, you don't need that.
Yeah,
there,
if it's dry, you should only need to use sulfites. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this, Jim. He was saying about the wine. Is there certain apples that are more acidy, or do you pick the apples very young? Are they more acidy that way? Is he using the wrong apple?
I don't know. It's probably Honeycrisp, you know?
Yeah, there's certain apples that might be more acidic than others, but you can always, you know, adjust the acid with, you know, additions.
So, well, what kind of, how do you check that then? How do you, what do you need to, for a home brewer like this, how do you check the acidity and stuff like that?
They do sell pH testing kits for home winemaking.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
There's a place in Elkhart, I believe it's called Home Brew It.
Yeah.
And they have a really nice website. You could order up, there's little tests, almost like you have a swimming pool, you know, dip the strip in and it changes colors and stuff. You can find all that stuff at Home Brew It or any other place online.
So, Jim, how much are you making? What are your batches? How many?
Well, right now I've got, I threw out the 5 gallon. I make them in 5 gallon carboys, and I've probably got a blueberry, a cherry, a Merlot, a Cabernet, and another one that starts with a B. I can't remember the name of the grape.
So does it stain your bathtub when you're squishing them? No?
No, I do it outside when I'm switching them, but maybe that's the problem then, you know?
Well, you know what, Jim? Could that be can the atmosphere around affect
wild
the
yeast
wine?
Get in there or something?
Absolutely. So cleaning and sanitation is paramount. So there's yeast everywhere, crawling around everywhere. So any foreign bug could get in there and take hold and cause complications.
So Gary, what we're going to do, we're going to send you out a gift certificate to Shady Creek Winery, and it's for their tasting room. And Tim, tell them what's involved with that.
Well, you can also bring three of your friends with you, and so it's a tasting four. Yeah, it's taste five wines, and hopefully stay and enjoy a little bit of food and relax a while.
Well, and we can talk more about winemaking too.
Thanks for calling in, Gary.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Folks, 769-9577, 769-9577. Give us a call. Find out more about wine. So, Tim, let's get more about your establishment. Walk us through the atmosphere, the ambiance of what people would expect when they walk into Shady Creek Winery.
Well, the first thing they notice is the building and the soaring ceilings. So we have extremely high ceilings and a real cupola that sits directly over the tasting bar. So people, we always know when somebody walks in the door if they've ever been here before because they look up. So when people come in and they've never been in the winery, they always look up because they can't believe the volume of the ceiling and that the cupola is real. You can see them studying it from the outside. Anyway, so there's a shaft of light coming down right over the tasting bar. But it's a beautifully finished and designed room. Our tasting bar is exotic woods, like rainforest woods, before you got in trouble for using rainforest woods. but we have a mezzanine that overlooks the tasting room with a glass rail. We have a private tasting room. All of the walls are covered in local art and photography that's for sale on consignment. And we have a three-season patio that leads to the pond in the back north lawn area. So, and we also have wraparound porches as well. So wherever you go in the winery, you can find a place to be comfortable and enjoy your friends and whoever you're with. And then in the wintertime, we have a giant real fireplace going.
Yeah.
So it really is a place where people tell us they feel like they're home.
And that sounds very cozy.
And that's what we were looking for.
Sounds very spacious and cozy and inviting.
Right. We're very much not like a lot of other wineries. We actually want you to stay. We want to be the destination, and we want to be your 2 or 3 hours of solitude.
Well, we got Tom on the line, don't we?
We do. How did you know that?
I don't know. I looked through your piece of paper like I did at Bozal Circus and got the right number to be on the last game.
Yeah, Tom.
How you doing? I enjoyed your program today. I actually have a twofold question. The first one is, like, in recent years, we've seen, like, all across the country, a lot of independent breweries and I guess, distilleries of independent, like, spirits. Is that also happening, like, in the wine industry? And the second question I had is, I was going to ask Jimmy, like, a young guy like you, where do you get your inspiration to... How do you get these ideas to come up with these different wines? You lay in bed at night, and then, I got that, and you wake up and you write something down, or what?
Well, I'll take the first one, and absolutely, the wine industry is growing just like the others. In fact, Indiana now has approximately 100 wineries, which you may not know about. A lot of them are in the southern and central part of the state. When we got our license 10 years ago, we were number 46 And now there's 10 years later, there's about 100. So Indiana wine is growing rapidly. And I'll let Jimmy handle his inspiration.
My inspiration comes from experiencing wines, because every wine you taste is an experience. So there's I've tasted some wines that have really inspired me to want to try to replicate or create something similar to the other great wines I've tasted in my experience as a wine drinker and winemaker.
So. You know, you were saying about reds, whites, dry, sweet. How do you make something that's really sets it apart from outside of those parameters, or within those parameters even?
Well, I'll take the high level part of it, but I think the rosé is a perfect example, because as a drinker, as just an enjoyer of the wine, it's fruity, it's dry, it's smooth. You hit all these great notes. But when you listen to Jimmy talk about how he selected the yeast specifically for the grapes, it's very interesting. So I'll let you tell that story.
Yeah. So specifically talking about the rosé, we made that from Chambersin, which is a French hybrid variety. It was cultivated to grow in cooler climates that have humidity. It's designed to survive in these climates. It's grown all over the Midwest. It typically exhibits a pretty high acidity, makes some pretty crisp, tart wines. I discovered this yeast strain that partially metabolizes that malic acid into lactic acid. So some of that tart crispness really smooth rounded out and made this really soft, palatable wine that's just simply delicious.
Wow, how'd you make that discovery?
Yeah, reading yeast catalogs.
Wow. He's really fun.
Somebody asked, do you need to make reservations for the tastings at your place?
No, you can come anytime. We're during our business hours. We're generally 11 to 6, Wednesday to Sunday. This time of year, we're 7 days a week. If you have more than eight or more people, we'd like you to make a reservation. But if it's just a handful of you and your friends, come on in.
You can just walk in.
So, yeah. Nice. You know, do you have classes? Do you offer classes, any kind of wine classes or anything like that? Does Jim go out there and show how it's done or anything?
We've just started a program called The Art of Wine.
Okay.
And it's evolving, but it is exactly that. It's not like a class, but it's a private tasting where we pair food with a particular wine or flight of wines, and Jimmy takes you through them in sometimes excruciating detail, because not everybody enjoys the fungal pressure and these other things that he talks about. But it's been received very well. We generally do about 30 people at a time, and it's about 90 minutes, and people are having a great time. We've been doing them on Sunday afternoons, and we do tickets on Eventbrite, and we'll be doing more of those.
Tom, I want to thank you for calling in. We didn't forget about you. Well, he dropped. Well, okay. That's it. He dropped off. Okay. That was all. You have a secret part of your winery, and that's food.
We do.
And what do you kind of offer? You seem like you got a pretty good menu here.
Yeah.
Do you try to pair them with your wine? Do you offer pairings?
We will for certain groups. We'll do some pairings. We do pairings for the Art of Wine program, right, that we talked about. So my brother is our chef, and he ran a restaurant for about 25 years, we've coaxed him into continuing to grow our food program. It started out as cheese plates. A couple of cheese plates, and now you see we have about 20 things on the menu. But some of it's wine food, like the salads are really sort of artisan salads. The cheese plates.
Cool. What you brought a charcuterie.
That's a charcuterie, yeah.
So and what was on that? You said that was a portable one.
That's a standard. That's a standard offering for us on the shareables. Got some Manchego cheese as well as some Dubliner. It's got some salami. It's got some cured Italian meats, some olives and grapes and flatbreads, and most importantly, bacon.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
It's really good bacon.
Now, is something salty good with wine? Does it work that way? I mean,
it'll make you drink a lot more of it.
Is that what it is?
It's more the fat.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, it's more the fat.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The acidity of the wine cuts the fat, and the fat, you know, tempers the acidity of the wine. They just marry together really nicely.
So if you want to move beyond liking sweet wine, or in addition to sweet wine, it's really about the food. Take a slice of apple, have a little bit of dry white, see what happens in your mouth, have a different cheese. And that's sort of the work part of wine. I mean, if you want to get into the dry wines, there's a little bit of work to do. You know, you have to learn that it's not just about opening the bottle and slugging it back. Dry wines generally need a little bit of food.
Now, you mentioned that you have art up. Do you have live entertainment ever?
We have live music every Sunday at 1 o'clock, and then we also have now what we call the live music series, where we're bringing in artists on a pop-up basis, where we just say, "Hey, we got music tonight," and we also have actual ticketed music events. In fact, our next one is coming up on, I believe it's Sunday the 20th, if that's an accurate date. Ginger, our special events manager, will kill me if I just said that wrong. But anyway, it's the third Sunday in July, if I'm not mistaken. But we have a fantastic artist named Cheryl Rohde, and she is just awesome. And we tried to do a lawn concert a few weeks ago, and the weather didn't quite cooperate with us, so we moved it inside. We're hoping the weather cooperates this time, and we will have a beautiful concert on the lawn, Ravinia style. You know, we spent a lot of money on 15,000 square feet of fresh sod last year, so we have a beautiful north lawn. And if we can get the weather to cooperate, we'll have some great music events out there.
So if you're sitting out on the lawn, what do you see around you? What's the atmosphere like?
If you're sitting on the lawn, you're surrounded by our 20 acres of woods and pond with fountain and a lot of greenery. So you feel very secluded. Because we are enclosed by a circle of trees.
And you said you have ticketed events. So the ticket includes what, the wine tasting, the food?
So we're trying to push the easy button on events. You know, we're not trying to be the local bar scene. We're trying to be an upper scale event where you can push the easy button and you get a seat.
Mm-hmm.
You know exactly where you're sitting, and it's a real seat. You don't have to show up an hour early to save a seat, get dirty looks by putting your coat and your purse on, you know, the chair trying to save it. You get a real seat that you pick out, and you get two adult beverages included. So for the outdoor events, we also actually pull a temporary license so we can have beer at those events.
Okay.
On the outdoor. And so two adult beverages, and then we've recently unbundled food. We had food bundled in. Now we're going to unbundle it, so it's an option. So you can we'll run the grill, and you get a chicken sandwich, hamburger, cheeseburger, bratwurst, that kind of stuff.
How long does these events, I mean, how long do the people?
They're generally doors open about 30 minutes after we close on whatever day it is.
Oh, that's when it's
so,
after you close.
So on the Sunday event coming up, we'll open the doors at 5:30. The music will start at 6, and it'll be done by 9. So it's a very easy. You can still get up and go to work the next day if you have to, and it's a great great evening out.
Well, you guys are two busy guys. So, you know, with the seasons, is there any time that you don't make wine? Are you always making wine?
Well,
Jimmy get a break?
Wine is very seasonal, and Jimmy can tell you about that. So it's a feast or famine kind of a thing.
Certainly is. Yeah. Your harvest is going to be from early fall to mid late fall, so that's like late August through October, sometimes November. That's the heat of the battle. You're picking the grapes. You got to get everything crushed, fermented. When the wine is made, it kind of simmers down a little bit. Then you get into fining, filtering, and bottling, and that's generally finished off early to late winter, and then you can kind of relax for a little bit and get ready for the next harvest.
So basically you do get some kind of break between harvesting, and that's when you're probably like cleaning down stuff and breaking things down.
I mean, people ask for tours, and at certain times of the year, it's, well, you can see a bunch of stainless steel and white boxes. I mean, there's nothing happening.
So let me ask you, Jimmy, who's your mentor?
Right now, Tim.
Tim's your mentor. Well, who do you think? Is there anyone you want to thank?
I would like to thank a few people.
Okay.
Other than Tim. Thomas Zabadal, who has a winery up in Waterville, Michigan. He taught me quite a bit. I did some work for him in his vineyard before his winery opened. And then Ashton Lowe, the head winemaker, previously head winemaker at Perryman Cellars in Virginia, and Mark Ward, the assistant winemaker at Perryman Cellars in Virginia. They taught me a lot.
Tim, you got a mentor? Since you came out of the...
In reality, my mentor for the wine business was Wally Maher at Domain Berrien in Berrien Springs. Mm-hmm. So he very graciously... I wrote him a handwritten letter. So this is a good thing for any would-be entrepreneur. I wrote him a handwritten letter, said, you don't know me, but I'm thinking about starting a winery, and I really respect your winery, and I wonder if you would mentor me.
Well, that had to be a feel-good letter to him.
And he answered me back and said, absolutely. And so he got me through sort of the licensing and design and business model phase to, you know, give me the real scoop on how this works. And then he got us off the ground in the early years with some fruit. We still buy his Pinot Grigio fruit, and it's delicious. We make award-winning wine out of his fruit. And that was really it. He was, if it weren't for him, we wouldn't exist. And then secondly, my brother Mike, who was our original winemaker, he lives in Texas and would come up on a fairly regular basis. And that was a tough deal for him to do all that traveling and coming up to do that. But we wouldn't be here without him either.
Well, you know, this hour went by fast.
Really fast.
Well, Tim, you say you got some, you won some awards. Can you tell us about some of these awards? You should be very proud of it.
We are very proud of it. And we just recently won, we submitted 4 wines to the Indy International competition, which is one of the biggest competitions in the world, actually, and attracts wines from all over the world. So people say, wow, a competition in Indianapolis? It isn't really. It's in West Lafayette. All of our wines have won awards at one point in time. We only enter a few each year into competition. But they're all award-winning wines, and we're very proud of them.
Well, we're down to our last couple of minutes here. Tim, give us the address, phone number, where they can make a reservation if they need to, hours of operation.
Absolutely, all the details. Well, the best way to do that is to visit our website at ShadyCreekWinery.com or visit us on Facebook. But we are at 2030 Tryon Road in Michigan City. And for those of you who are familiar with that area, we're about 4 miles east of the Blue Chip.
Okay.
And we're about 1 mile south of the lake. So if you're familiar with Highway 12 or Highway 20 or even 94, Michigan City was gracious enough a few years ago to put up some wayfinding signs for some of the attractions like us.
That.
And it's almost impossible to approach Michigan City and not be able to find us now. So that's a great thing.
What are your hours?
Our hours change a little bit seasonally. Like I said, right now we are 7 days a week. So we are Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, 11 to 6, Thursday, Friday, 11 to 7, Saturday, 11 to 6, and Sunday, 11 to 5. Those are all central time.
Okay.
A lot of people get confused and think we're all the way in Michigan, but we're not.
You're on central time in Michigan City.
Yeah, I know. One, a few miles more and you're done. You're already lost an hour.
Correct.
Well, I want to thank Tim Anderson and Jimmy Lynch from Shady Creek Winery out of Michigan City, taking your time out, coming over here to Lakeshore Public Studios here in Miraville and spending some time and telling us all about wine. Thank you very much for stopping in and bringing us wine.
You are welcome.
And I want to remind everyone, we have an event July 1st at Off Square Brewing where you buy some beer and we get a dollar, right, Kelly? A dollar for every drink. And I want to thank everyone out there. Me and Sharon won't be here next week. We're going to be blowing off fireworks. Mm-hmm. Watch your fingers, Sharon. You need to press those buttons, okay?
I need to drive the boat.
You need to drive the boat. And I want everyone to have a safe and safe weekend. Maybe I'll see you out at Bulldog Park tomorrow for the concert with the Sounds of Santana. And everyone have a safe weekend. And all I got to say to everyone is ciao.